This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on Sticks In, we are all about the Premier Lacrosse League. Games are getting going this weekend. The sixth season of the PLL is upon us. We'll talk through some of the roster moves that came out this week as teams cut down from 30 to 25 players. We'll talk through some of the takeaways we had from coaches and from players in press conferences that occurred on Thursday. We'll look at each matchup for the weekend because we do have four games on the calendar. And then we've got a guest today. We have an interview with new Denver Outlaws LSM, Jake Pisano. We'll talk to Jake about how he found his way to lacrosse, his style of play, the way he wears his personality on his sleeve, playing for Albany, making it to the PLL, all that good stuff. With that said, let's get right into it. Let's do it. Sticks In. My name is Dan Arestia. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad PLL season is here. It's been training camp for a week. It's been kind of hard to keep your eye on two things at once. You know, if you're like me, you enjoy the college game, you enjoy the program. You know, it's been hard to be locked in on championship weekend because, I mean, you know, I'm there to consume all three men's games. We had the women's game on in the press box during the T3 game because of the BC and Northwestern game was so good. And you're trying to also kind of keep an eye on what's going on up in Albany for PLL training camp and how things are kind of unfolding there. You know, we all kind of saw on social them arriving. I like the big branded like 18-wheelers showing up to campus there in Albany. I think that's cool. I don't know. You know, maybe it's if you're an everyday consumer of the PLL and lacrosse content, you probably don't think too much of that, or you even think maybe it's a little bit cheesy, maybe it's a little bit cringe. But if you're somebody who just kind of is being introduced to lacrosse to somebody else, or this is your first impression, it looks like something that's pretty legit, right? These trailers for his team trailers rolling up to Albany with all the gear and everything for the players to have training camp. It has like an NFL training camp kind of vibe to it. So I kind of like the branded trailers with, you know, they got the newer logos on there. I think the city names are on there. So I thought that was a nice little touch. I think those kind of things are cool. Training camp's been going on all week. We've all basically been, our glimpse into it has been like whatever, you know, whatever clips get posted of rookies or people doing cool things in practice. Lots of content, not a lot of like reporting. Like I still would love to know as the scrimmage is going on, who's doing what, who's scoring goals, how players are looking, how teams are looking, that kind of thing. As you know, I want that in, not instead of, but in addition to the highlights and all that. So it's tough to kind of know how things are going because there's not always a ton of reporting that comes out from training camp or whatever. But midweek we did have the rosters get cut down from 30 guys to 25 guys, always difficult. This year in particular, it's difficult because there was just so much in the way of new young talent trying to get a shot in the PLL. You know, I kind of mentioned it on social, but, you know, you have the four rounds of the draft and then teams can go up to 30 players for camp. So teams had as many as, you know, some teams had, you know, four, five, six roster spots open. Everybody filled them. Everybody went up to 30 guys. And so when you look at going up to 30 and then going down to the 25 again, all eight teams got to cut five guys. There were, I think, 14 players who didn't get drafted and got added to a roster after the draft, who then made the 25-man. And some of those guys are going to make the 19-man for game day this weekend. And you think about that, that's basically two rounds of draft picks worth of guys, right? That then made it, you know? And I know where this takes everybody immediately is, well, that means we need expansion. We need another team for all these guys to play. The talent is there that has never been a question. Before this year, for years, since we got to eight teams, we said, we've got the talent for more. Let's have more. It's not as simple as, you know, well, I can find you 19 more good lacrosse players. Let's just have another team. It's not. It's 19 more game day salaries. It's 19 more guys who need the you know, the health insurance, workers' comp coverage. It's you know, 19 more guys worth of travel. It's a coaching staff's worth of salary and travel and all that stuff. It's, you know, a probably hiring more support staff for, you know, they need somebody to run their social. You got to do all these things behind the scenes that go into the adding of another team. And frankly, I know the talent is there, but you do have to consider competitive balance. And not that it would be bad with another team. You'd probably want to add two more teams when you added one. You'd want to go from 8 to 10. But so you can add an East and a West and keep the conferences even. But if you are adding more teams, just consider where the balance is right now. With, I don't want to say it's easy, like saying it's easy makes me sound crazy because it's not easy. But to go from worst to first in the PLL can be done in a year, because it's not because of some, yes, it takes an intelligent roster building, but it's because everybody is so close and the margin of error between the teams is so razor thin. Every week, anybody can beat anybody. And sometimes the ball bounces your way and sometimes it doesn't. But everybody has the talent to beat everybody else because the teams are all so good. I know somebody has to finish last. And it's easy to point at the team that finishes last and be like, ah, they suck. They don't. They don't. They maybe had some bad bounces, maybe some injuries, whatever. It doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot to do what the Cannons did a year ago. To go from worst to story of the league, you know, in the semifinals. Adding teams makes that less likely. It's harder to have that razor-thin margin between each team. And I like it like that. I like the idea that the Outlaws might win the West because of the changes they've made. You know, because it really can be that subtle of a difference. Everybody, you know, you're one or two guys, if you're at the bottom, one or two guys, one or two bounces away from being at the top. And it makes it very, very hard to stay at the top. And it makes it very, very hard to be on the bottom for a long time. So I like the competitive balance, you know, from an expansion point of view. I tend to look at it that way. And I always tend to look at it financially. I know, again, the talent is always going to be there. Everybody's got the talent. Look, the NBA probably has the talent to support more teams, but it's not always economically the right decision, and it's not always for competitive balance the right decision. And I'm sure there's other factors the PLL considers for this that I'm not even getting into right now. Other, you know, you need, at this point, you need other locations. You need locations that are going to be ready to support a team when you put one there. I think it's more important to knock these eight locations out of the park and be comfortable before you start looking at adding more teams. You're going to have the talent to support them forever. Economically, you want to maybe be a little more comfortable. So before we get into, I guess, some of the roster moves themselves this week, some of the guys who let go, let's just kind of get organized on what the roster designations are outside of the guys who are just the 25 active guys. Because I do get, like, I get replies and DMs and about certain things, what they mean. And I think we should just try and be clear about what's what. So the first one, the one that everybody becomes an expert on this time of year, the unavailable to travel list. So the league defines this as, I'm pulling this language from the PLL here. The league language for the unavailable to travel list is a player who has an approved, excused absence and cannot make the start of the PLL season. A player on the unavailable to travel list does not count against the club's roster limits. Once a player is removed from the unavailable to travel list, he must be placed on the club's active reserve or inactive roster immediately or be released into the player pool. So as soon as these guys can join the team, they have to join the team. Otherwise, you got to let them go. This happens every year. In short, this list is created for the guys who aren't from the U.S. They need visas to work, travel into the country and to work in the country as a pro athlete. It's a job. You need to work here as a pro athlete. You need a visa to do so. The process to get one of these kind of visas takes a few weeks. So typically, if a player is on the list, they tend to miss usually the first two, maybe three games at the start of their rookie year, and that's it forever. That's all they're missing. They got the visa, we're good after that. Each season, there's probably something like, you know, I think at most there's been like a half a dozen guys who this matters for, who, you know, usually the Canadian rookies you sort this out for. But usually, you know, I think this year it's whatever, four, maybe five guys. This, you know, most years it's somewhere in that ballpark. And the same question when this happens every year gets asked, why don't they just do it sooner? It's not that simple. The process to get the visa for the players cannot start until they are drafted and signed, until they are a pro athlete. You can't start anything ahead of time because they don't have the job yet. You don't really have options to change this. Like, even if you were to move the draft up to some comically early March date or something, there's still going to be college players finishing the college season. They cannot start that process yet because they're not a pro yet. Lacrosse is not about to go to the United States government and say, hey, you need to change the visa process because we've got five Canadian lacrosse players who might miss two Saturdays of pro lacrosse. Is that, I mean, go ahead and send that email. See what comes back. It's not going to do anything. The season isn't starting any later, right? Because it would end in October or something like that. So you're kind of just stuck with the timing of this being what it is. Other sports have to deal with this kind of thing. The WNBA just, I think, did it with a player. But for most sports, the draft timing kind of solves this and you don't actually experience it. Like the NHL draft is in the summer. Those guys get drafted, their visas get sorted out way before the season starts. MLB draft, you know, far enough away from season start. And those guys, you know, the guys that get drafted there, you know, it's similar to hockey or in other sports in some ways where they're kind of maybe still in college or their rights are held or they're going to the farm system or whatever, and you don't really kind of notice it happening. NLL, right? The indoor league, the guys get drafted while they still have a year of college left, a lot of them, and their college season ends, their last one. But the process for them starts then and gets done well before the first NLL game because that's not starting until, you know, the winter. You have from May until November, December to get that organized. You know, earlier for training camp, but plenty of time. The only thing that makes it this way is the timing of when the player can actually start the process of getting the visa and when the season starts, because they're pretty close to the same time. There is no solve for this that's easy. There is no just start it sooner. You can't. There is no move the season back. You'd be crazy to. There is no going to the government and saying, can we do something about this? It's five Canadians a year. Ultimately, a big-time schedule move and process change, even if somebody was going to entertain it, you'd be doing it to solve a problem for, like I said, a half dozen guys. You're solving for an edge case here. So the unavailable to travel list is that. There is no easy solution for it. Every year it's going to happen. You have Canadian rookies who miss two, three games, you know. Will we ever get to a point where, like, coaches avoid Canadians because of it? No, of course not. Still going to take these guys. So, you know, that's kind of is what it is. It's, I know it's annoying. It's going to be particularly annoying for a year where, like, you know, like a Jeff Teat caliber player goes, like, first overall and you don't see him for a couple weeks. But when that happens, it's, again, it's an edge case. Solving for an edge case does not make sense. The next up, the PUP list. PUP, short for physically unable to perform. Again, this is how the league defines this. Physically unable to perform due to an injury outside of a PLL game. If a guy gets hurt doing anything other than, like, usually practice or a game during the PLL season, he will be on the PUP list. The difference here between this and, like, you know, a typical injury list is just the nature of how and when the injury occurred. So it's not like the guy had some special kind of injury or it's a scarier, longer term list or anything like that. It's just the nature of how the injury happened. And the last one we see a lot of now is the holdout list. The league language here is A player who fails to report to his club, has not been medically cleared, or fails to submit paperwork will be placed on the holdout list. It's kind of a catch-all. Guys who, you know, sometimes a guy gets drafted and he also has, you know, a corporate job lined up that won't allow him to play in the PLL right away. That guy's going to go on the holdout list. He can't play right away, but you're going to keep his rights. He's on the holdout list. He's staying with your club. A guy who's going to be unavailable, for, you know, for a month because of work, other life considerations, whatever, holdout list. Today, Coach Stagnetto was talking about their young guys, mentioned Adam Poitra, who they drafted, on the holdout list because he's on a team trip right now. Isn't going to be with the team right away. When he comes back, he comes off of it. Coach Tower is talking about drafting Dylan Hess, right? Dylan Hess, they drafted. He's on the holdout list because he's going to play a year of football. He's not going to be available, but he stays on the holdout list. Chaos owners rights. After a year of football, he can come back to lacrosse and he will be with the Chaos. So the holdout list, you know, Cole Kastner in the woods, same kind of thing. Dane Smith is on the Chaos holdout list until if/when he returns to play PLL from MSL, if that ever happens. All those things kind of fall under the, you know, like the fails to report. There's something else going on that they're going to do. They're not going to be playing for their PLL team for, you know, not, it's not going to ever be just a week. It's going to be a couple weeks. I think it's a 3-week minimum if you go on holdout. So those are the most common of the roster things. Everything else is self-explanatory. Military exemption, you know what it means. The guy's going either on active service or training, and he's in the military. You know, the injured list, you know what that is. That basically covers everything. For the most part, I think these roster cuts were pretty hard. The coaches are always going to tell you they're hard. They really aren't lying about it. Even going from 25-man to a game day 19-man is hard. And some Coach Towers last year said he likes to get everybody on the 25 into a game early in the year so he can see them in a game environment. And it can be hard to do that, but he makes a point to try and do it. So, you know, I think there were a couple here that maybe surprised me more than others. Some of them we got a little more clarity on today. The first, the Water Dogs released Alex Dathakis. When it happened, I was like, they're going no faceoff guy. My goodness, what's happening here? Did not expect this from Coach Tierney. I was expecting Coach Tierney to be, you know, more old school, that kind of guy, and keep the faceoff around, even as the Water Dogs didn't really, you know, go with it last year and kind of pioneered the prevent. But so I was surprised to see them let Stathakis go. And then today, Coach Tierney made it clear, more of a strategy move, or I guess a front office magic kind of move. Tierney noted that Denver is a trimester school. Stathakis is currently getting his master's. He was a grad student there this year. Tierney released him as part of just kind of the numbers game so that Stathakis could go back to school, could go back to Denver and finish his master's degree. And Tierney considered it to be a low-risk move because all seven other clubs kept at least one faceoff guy. So he didn't think anyone would be in the market to pick up Stathakis. He added, hey, he expects Stathakis to play for the Water Dogs this year. So it's going to have them in an interesting spot in week one because they're not going to have somebody. You know, they'll be able to get by. Again, they have Zach Currier. You've got kind of a solution there if you need one. But down the road, it does sound like Tierney's plan is to carry the specialist at least on the 25-man. You know, we'll see what kind of success Stathakis has week to week and if it's something they stick with or not. But the second move, the one that kind of surprised everybody when they read it, was Will Manny being released by the Whipsnakes. In press conferences, Coach Stagnetta said, he said candidly it was a decision that he made with Will. Said he thought Will kind of deserved that they kind of made the decision together. I think Will is as a longtime veteran, like an all-star, like he's done it all. As long as he's been doing it as well as he's been doing it, I think he has certainly earned the right to have that conversation as well. Ultimately, Coach kind of said it came down to some guys just not quite fitting into the offensive system that they're trying to build. They have other lefties right now in Matt Rambo and now in TJ Malone as well. Stagnetta said it didn't look like or it wasn't shaping up like Manny was going to be a regular 19-man guy for them. And I think he kind of thought, look, Will could still be that for somebody. Let's see if we can get him that opportunity wherever it is. It certainly is a shock to read the sentence, Will Manny has been released. Like, that's a surprise. When, as you read it, you do a little double take. But really taking a step back, I think you kind of look at the big picture of the Whips roster. It's a move that makes sense. It's a move that makes sense. Lefty attack in the PLL is a very hard position to win a spot at right now. Just go ahead and just on your own here. Go team to team in your head and think of the guy that starts at lefty attack for everybody. You get names like Josh Byrne, Jeff Teat, Ryder Garnsey, Connor Fields, Matt Rambo. It's a tough spot to win. So we'll see if Will Manny gets an opportunity with somebody. He wasn't claimed outright. He's not going to be on anybody's roster this weekend, but that doesn't mean he will, you know, stay in the player pool forever. I'm sure teams will find a need for a guy like Will as the season goes on. Other notable things to come out of the press conference with Coach Stagnetta, Tucker Dordovic expected to miss 3 weeks. So that's unfortunate. As Coach Stagnetta said, it is an opportunity for guys. It's an opportunity for guys to try and earn more time, earn a spot, earn a chance to do more. So I guess some other notable moves around. The only other one I thought maybe surprised me a little bit was Roy Meyer being released by the Chaos. I wasn't somebody who was like, Roy was 100% going to get drafted and Roy should 100% be on somebody's team. I thought he'd play his way onto that team, though. Coach Towers said Thursday it really was the result of CJ Costabile just going out and taking the job. You know, CJ is a veteran. He's been doing it a long time. He's getting up there, and you bring in a guy like Roy to push him, and it sounds like he pushed him, and CJ won the job. And, you know, I think Roy's a guy who's going to play in the PLL. He'll find a home with someone who needs LSM. Like, first-team All-American LSMs don't just fall out of trees. An undrafted first-team All-American LSM made a splash last year. Kid named Ethan Wall did pretty well. So, you know, can Roy be that for somebody? I don't know, but he should get a call from another team. Somebody's going to need some depth there. Most others, you know, I think basically we saw what we'd expect. You know, teams let go kind of things like face-off depth. A lot of teams let go of their third goalie. That last, you know, short stick D mini, you know, that kind of thing. So those were kind of the roster moves. Other kind of notable things from press conferences. One, the injury bug has already bitten the Water Dogs. My goodness. Coach Tierney, you know, I asked Coach Tierney if he had a timetable for Kenny Brower and his, you know, availability, because he is on the PUP list for the Water Dogs. For an injury sustained in college, you know, at the end of the college season. Coach Tierney said at this point it looked like it might be something that was, you know, he didn't say long term, but he said surgery was on the table, something to be considered as they evaluate it. So certainly not a good sign. It could be something where you wonder if you're going to lose that season. But Tierney said this is not a guy who is leaving lacrosse or the pro lacrosse world anytime soon. He says Kenny is a Team USA kind of guy. That's where he wants to be. So, you know, you would certainly expect him back. He did say Jake Higgins has a foot fracture that it looks like will cause him to miss the season, which is, you know, awful. That SSDM unit for the Water Dogs has been a strength of theirs. They added Jake Richard in free agency, so that should help with the Higgins thing. But, you know, it sucks to see somebody obviously get hurt before the season gets really going in earnest. And then Jack Hanna, who is on the PUP list, who I'm sure is very eager to get out there and play for his old coach and Coach Tierney. It's going to be a couple of weeks, I believe, Coach Tierney said, for him as he works his way back. You know, he's a guy who got banged up at the NLL season, and he's just kind of getting over those injuries. So a couple of weeks away for Jack Hanna. You know, looks like season ending for Jake Higgins. Looks like season threatening maybe for Kenny Brower. So unfortunate, but, you know, you wish those guys the best coming back. The good news for the Water Dogs is AJ Mercurio, post-draft ad for them, stuck on the 25-man. So you get some more pull depth there in place of Kenny Brower. And then, you know, as we said, Jake Richard signed in free agency, of course, made the team there. You know, so you get a little SSDM help in place of Jake Higgins. You know, other teams that are kind of dealing with it a little bit, the Archers, you know, Coach Bates said he didn't know when Latrell Harris was going to be back. Patrick Schume is going to miss the year, unfortunately, with an injury. And I know he was somebody that Coach Bates said, you know, was a guy who I think they expected to play for them a good amount this year, as they have some openings at pole. And then, you know, I kind of asked about the timetable for Graham Hossack, who is on the holdout list. And, you know, Coach Bates didn't really give an answer to it. But, you know, I do wonder about what the Cyborg's availability will be this summer. You know, we'll see when we see him, if we see him. But the defensive side of the ball there is certainly something that's going to be interesting. With, you know, Matt McMahon retires, Hossack to hold out. A guy you might have been counting on in Schume, who you've had before, is going to miss the year with an injury. You have a lot of new poles. You know, you drafted Colby Barnes, you drafted Mason Woodward, who it sounds like Mason Woodward had a very, very good camp and has looked really good, so that'll help them. But that side of the field could be interesting. Could be interesting for sure. The Atlas goalie situation is an interesting one. I asked Coach Pressler about it, and he, like, kind of jokingly, but kind of not, was like, I still haven't met Liam Enemann. You know, Liam obviously was winning a national championship on Monday. He's at the Tewaritan ceremony, maybe winning it. I don't know. As I'm recording this, the ceremony has not happened yet, but he hasn't been to camp yet. He's going to have one practice on Friday, about 90 minutes, Coach Pressler said. Well, they'll get a look at him, and they'll make a decision. So somebody's going to win that job tomorrow. It sounds like 19 mans were actually, you know, were coming like today. So I don't know if they put Entman on the 19 man in anticipation of him at least being the backup, but we'll kind of see. We'll see how that conversation went. The other notable thing for them is Peyton Wasanka is active for them. And I loved Peyton's game. I thought he was the best short stick D middie in the draft a year ago, but you knew it when you drafted him. And Pressler said this too. They knew when they drafted him a year ago that he was injured, that he had a labrum injury that he sustained at the end of the college season. And it turned out to cost him the entire summer. And he was dealing with, I think, some effects during the indoor season too. So he's been activated. I'm so excited to see him at the PLL level. Coach Pressler said, look, he's not Danny Logan, but he's close. And if you're just close to being Danny Logan, you're a really, really good shorty. Peyton Wasanka had been to a Team USA tryout and been made a cutdown, you know, for them. He's that good. So I'm really excited to see. I hope Peyton can stay healthy. He and Danny Logan are just a pair of dudes who are 5'10", 205, and ready to body up your midfield. So I'm excited to see them play together. The Cannons, Coach Holman confirmed Jack Keelty out for the season. It is an Achilles injury for him. I think it's really hard to understate just how important that is. He was Defensive Player of the Year finalist a year ago. He has been with this team. He was there before Coach Holman for the bad stuff and was a key part of the turnaround to the good stuff on that end of the field. And you can't just lose a guy like that and pick right up. I know they have Garrett Eppel now. I don't know where my voice is going. I know they have Garrett Eppel now. I know they have Bryce Young down there now. You know, they have vets like Van Raphorst. You know, they've got some really, really good pieces there, but it's really hard to appreciate losing a guy like Jack Keelty. In my mind, he might not be as vocal or as loud, but in terms of helping run your defense, it's similar to the Redwoods losing Eddie Glazner to retirement. Not having Jack Keelty all year, I think, is that big a deal. So, you know, the Cannons otherwise, I think they're going to be fun. I think they're going to be a good team. It's hard to find the place where you think they got worse. And, you know, it's really just, can we bottle that magic from last year and bring it to this year for them? So it'll be exciting. They have Pat Cavanaugh coming. Has not been to camp yet. Maybe he's winning the Tewaritan right now. It's probably him or Enemann, right? Maybe he's winning it right now, but he's going to join that team too, and that's going to be fun. The Outlaws. Obviously, you know, I had to ask. I asked right away, you know, where's Brennan playing? Is he running out of the box? How's he looking? How's he working with guys? And Coach Sudan's answer was basically like, he's doing it all. He said they had sessions in 6-on-6 where O'Neill and Wisnowskis played it together, and they look good. They worked well with Zawada at X. They used O'Neill in two-man games and in two-man game drills, and he dominated. They used O'Neill in big little picks behind, and he dominated. You know, he was like, look, we've had him out of the box. We've had him at attack. Whatever it is, he's probably going to be on the field for us every possession. So it sounds like Brennan is having himself a camp. I will say, as I heard about all these ways that Sudan had used him during the week, I got so excited because I'm, you know, again, I'm not trying to disparage Duke here in any way, but there was a lot of times at Duke where he would just get kind of parked on the lefty wing and, you know, given the ball and said, okay, go be dominant, go do stuff. And if you put him in scheme like what Coach Sudan is talking about, or you use him even as a kind of within the flow of the offense secondary dodger after somebody else has dodged already, that's when he really makes magic happen. And it sounds like there's a lot of sets where he's going to be able to do that. So very excited about that. I think that's going to be great. We'll talk more about the Outlaws in a second when we talk to Jake here. Not too much other really kind of crazy noteworthy stuff out of press conferences. The Redwoods went first. They're in a weird spot because they have camp and then they have a bye week one. And then obviously they get no breaks the rest of the way. So it's kind of a tough shake for them. But, you know, I think something that we all wanted to get out there was not just how many new guys there are, but, you know, the kind of change in culture and change in identity that's going to be happening for them. And it sounded like Coach Nat, you know, Nat St. Laurent was very excited about it. He said there were times where they were, you know, as coaches just saying to each other, you know, it's time to go to dinner, but look, if you want to talk to those guys, you got to go in the locker room because they don't want to leave. They just want to hang out together in the locker room. And that's the kind of thing you're excited to hear because it sounds like that locker room, you know, had to share issues a year ago and it's in a much better place. It's in a much better place now and it's working, you know, in a positive direction. So I think it's going to be really an interesting team to watch. I am higher on the Redwoods probably than most. I think a lot of people, you know, the comment sections on those first days of free agency, as it looked like everyone was leaving town, were pretty ruthless. I really like what they did, man. Sometimes you need a shake up, and they're shaking it up. It's good. There was no timetable for the return of guys like Owen Grant, you know, Ricky Miaison, who are on the PUP list. Hopefully, you know, we see them sooner rather than later. You know, from what I've heard a little bit, it might be some time before we see OG, but we'll see. You know, the polls that they have there are exciting, and you know, Nat had said today he loved the guys they brought in because they all came in like they had something to prove, or they not even like they had. They all came in and they have something to prove. And guys who play like that are great. So he specifically called out how well Chris Fake was playing. So, you know, it sounds like the defense there getting its overhaul, going to be a new look. CC is going to be in charge of it and he'll have them humming. So before we start looking at the weekend, let's talk to somebody who's playing this weekend. Jake Pisano was selected by the Denver Outlaws this year following a year in college at Albany where he won the Schmeiser Award as the top defender in the nation. He plays everywhere. He does everything. He wears his personality on his sleeve, like literally in the form of tattoos. He has been on a, you know, to me, he's been on a meteoric rise over the last year and change to basically being a bona fide lacrosse superstar at this point. So we chat a little bit about his coming to love the sport of lacrosse, his style of play, Coach Marr maybe having to rein him in a little bit at times, playing at Albany, going pro, all that stuff. So stick around here for a second, and we'll get to a conversation with Denver Outlaws LSM, Jake Pisano.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, joining the Sticks In podcast now is the newest LSM for the Denver Outlaws, Mr. Jake Pisano. Jake, how are we doing tonight?
Pretty good. Can't complain, you know?
It is the evening. I know it's been busy training camp. I know you guys are into the thick of it, and I'm sure it's been a whirlwind. But I kind of would like to start with you to let people who maybe don't know you as well kind of get to know the way you came to love lacrosse, the way you kind of came to the game and what kind of brought you to it originally. So how did you kind of find your way to lacrosse as a youngster or however it was?
Yeah, I mean, I was probably in like first, second grade when I started playing lacrosse. I come from a family that, you know, didn't really play lacrosse. My dad's from southern San Diego. My family roots are from Mexico, where that's actually so I'm on the Haudenosaunee team and all that. My native heritage comes from the Michoacan Nation and the Pirapecha tribe, and they don't even actually play lacrosse as their, you know, sport. So it really came to be. I was always a football guy when I was younger, and my dad kind of got me into all that basketball, and lacrosse came like first, second grade. And, you know, I think that when you talk about like where the love, you know, start, it was kind of like right when I got my first stick. You know, I just thought everything was so cool. It has all the intricacies of like every sport that I played, football, basketball, you know, everything. So I really fell in love with it really quick. And it was kind of a product of me not being too good at football. So I had to be good at something. So I really stuck to lacrosse for a long time. And I'm happy with my choice for sure.
Did you have like favorite players or guys that you kind of looked up to even as young, in first grade, if you asked somebody their favorite player at that time? I don't know what was available to you, but, you know, did you have guys that you looked up to originally?
Yeah, I mean, I looked up to, like, you know, the Syracuse Orange. You know, that's where I'm from. I'm from Syracuse. So it was really just all about going to the Dome and watching those guys play, you know, watching Joel White, you know, Jojo Marasco, like all those types of guys when I was young, you know, going to those games. Like, I was up in the bleachers having my shirt off, waving it around, you know, I loved lacrosse like from day one. So it was really just all those guys. And then when I started getting older, you know, started being obviously guys like Lyle and, you know, guys who were really growing the game. And, you know, those guys really like paved the way for us. And, you know, like I said, the love was right from the start, but, you know, those guys really made me kind of, you know, enjoy to watch and enjoy to play the game even more.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Joel White. I try and be as objective as I can be, but I mean, I have to have, like, Joel White is probably my favorite player that I ever saw play. I remember one of the first times I ever saw him play in person. He basically ran a fast break as a long pole and, you know, moved the ball to the attack on the break, and it goes, you know, one to kind of tic-tac-toe, but in the end, he like finishes his lane to the front of the goal, gets the ball back and throws it around the world. And I was like, hold on. Poles can do that? Like, that's allowed?
Yeah.
It was one of the guys where, like, you know, it's a kind of a different world then, but that was like, you can do that? Like, this totally changed my perception of the position, the guys playing it, what you could do with it, the way you could create with it. So he was one of my favorite players ever. You definitely see some of that in your game as well. I mean, it seems like something where you don't seem to subscribe to the fact that this position can have boundaries, that there's things you should do and things you shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw Joel White playing, you know, it's also a product of, I didn't get to see him play obviously because he was early, but, you know, Rick Beardsley was a big mentor of mine. So it was kind of a combination of just like so many things, seeing these poles do different things. And I just kind of wanted to do it all. You know, it's like you said, you know, nothing's restricted. There's no boundaries within this game. There's so much creativity that comes with it. So, you know, as a pole, you can do all things, whether that's defense, offense, or any of it.
I saw that you trained with Rick Beardsley as a young guy growing up and everything. Is it fair to say that Well, I guess to start, for people who don't know Rick, I know Rick a little bit, but for people who don't know him, how would you describe Rick Beardsley to people? And I can, you're smiling as you start to answer because you know what
Yeah,
he's like.
it's just funny, you think of Rick Beardsley, you think of all the times when he's on, podcasts and stuff. He was a four-time All-American at Syracuse.
Right.
He's the guy who, throws the over-the-head checks. He was the OG of that. But, he's definitely a character. When you're on his side, you're loving him. And I know that with everything, there's always that other side, guys who don't really understand them. But I think that me and him had an amazing relationship, and it started right from when I was playing for him on club teams like United and Upstate Lacrosse Club. And he was just like a great coach, the OG. He gave it to you straight. I remember many times he hyped me up, and there was many times when he would look at me and say, you want to play Division One lacrosse? So he was definitely great in that aspect, where he was just a good mentor, and he gave it to you straight. And I'll always love him for that.
Is it fair to say that there is some of his game in your game?
For sure, for sure. I watched all of his old tapes, and all the stuff that he puts on social media, and all these checks and creativity in his game, for sure. And definitely some confidence in that in my game from him too.
Right. So, I see you and I think of, I think your star has very much risen over the past, I'll say like calendar year or so. I think there's plenty of people who watch a lot of lacrosse who kind of knew about this pole up at Albany doing some really cool stuff. But I think there was your performance at Worlds kind of made everybody say, you got to go watch this guy play. Look at what he brings to the field. Is that how you've kind of experienced it too? Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely like the first stage where I performed, but it's really just all, because of who I was around. Just being with guys like Lyle and the Stotts brothers, and Lars and Coach Marr, and just everyone around me in that situation. They really gave me the confidence and all that to be who I am today. And I did play great, personally, in that tournament, but I give all the credit to my teammates and my coaches for allowing me to do everything that I do, and to have the confidence in me to do it. And that bled right into college season. I said it to myself, if I can do it against the top of the top, I can do it against college athletes. And that was also a product of my teammates at Albany, and Coach Marr and Coach Thompson and Maloney, just having the confidence in me and being able to, one, just like Rick Beardsley, hype me up, but also give it to me straight. They had to wrangle me in sometimes, and give it to me, 100%, and just say, maybe you're doing too much, maybe you're doing too little. So it was really just a product of, being a good learner, and being a good learner to and learning from the guys who coached me.
Give me that time where Coach Marr had to bring you over and say, you're doing too much. What was the thing that made Coach Marr tell you, all right, you're doing too much? I can't imagine what it would be.
He was there was a lot of times in the season where he would allow me to dodge on offense and stuff, and then maybe that dodge became a couple of dodges, and that dodge became a 50-second possession with the ball on my stick.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where he was kind of, maybe you gotta pick and choose when you want to go and stuff, and have that creativity. But that's what made it so awesome, because I had that free rein, but also he knew when to kind of give it to me straight and say, you're doing too much, or you got to do this a little bit more, and all that stuff on the back end and on the front end.
I'm sure there were other polls around the country. You saw highlights of you dodging a shorty or something and going to their coach, like, can I? Come on.
Yeah,
You gotta let me do this. Look, they're doing it up at Albany.
the man up stuff too. They're like, I want to hit one from deep on man up.
That's right. That's right. So how is this kind of this star turn over the last year in particular, kind of how has it been experiencing it for you? Having a coach like Coach Tiffany say I think he's the best player in the country and I don't know what to do with them. And having, the praise from other coaches that visibly and stuff like that for you. How has it been, handling that?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It definitely makes me feel like I'm doing a lot of things right in my, journey to being a professional, athlete and a lacrosse player. But, I think having that stardom also comes from not being complacent. And, the first thing I said in interviews after, Coach Starja and Coach Tiffany said all these things, I said that I can still be better. I still need to go to practice on Monday and work just as hard and continue to do what I've been doing. Just because I get a few comments here and there, I'm not saying that I don't take that to heart, because it's really just something that,
Yeah, it feels good. But it's okay to feel good about it,
It definitely means a lot. But I also take it as, you can never stop. The grind keeps going. That's kind of how I think of it.
One thing I also, is something about you is you have obviously some personality to you. I'm just doing audio here, but you have the chains on. You have some tattoos. I see the tattoos kind of on your arms there.
Yep.
Can you tell me a little bit about those in particular? Is there anything special about those, or what about those is meaningful to you?
So the tattoos, really, I'm not done with them yet. I have a lot more to go. a lot more to go. But I've decided to kind of do one arm for my mom, one arm for my dad. We'll see where it goes from there. But I haven't started my dad's side yet. But all my mom's side is kind of from my grandparents, and people who really mean a lot. And I take a little bit of their life and put it on me, and just like keep their journey going with me. And a part of my image is, it's a little weird. I have like a nice fade, a little beard, three chains, tattoos and stuff. It's not really your typical, look for a quote unquote, lax bro.
Yeah. You do not look fresh out of a New England prep school. I can tell you that right now.
No, I'm straight public school for sure. But, I think that's a part of me. That's a part of like what Rick Beardsley gave me, be yourself. You don't have to be something that you're not.
I think that there's something else here too with you being at Albany. The Albany contingent in the PLL is no joke. There are, I went and kind of counted. I think there are currently on the 25 man rosters that came out today, 7 Albany alums. And that doesn't include guys on, a holdout or guys who were inactive or hurt or whatever.
Yeah.
Obviously if you go to the indoor game, there's a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's much more than some of the old quote unquote, blue bloods in the PLL right now. Do you think Albany is getting enough love out there as this factory for pro players that just, they just put out pro talent?
I mean, it definitely doesn't get as much love as you'd probably think it should. But, I think that's what makes us great. That's what makes us, that little small school that just, stays behind the curtains and just goes to work. We look at ourselves as blue collar, and we do things a little different. We always yelled that we're SUNY and stuff. We're not an Ivy school, getting like, not saying that Albany is not great at academics and all that, but it's not seen from the world as pristine and all that. But, I think that that's what makes us so great, is that we're not in that limelight and we're not considered that blue blood. And that's why everyone comes to Albany to work. And it's showing with us in the pro leagues, guys like Elijah and Ron John, and then obviously, the greats like Blaze and Fieldsy and Troy and all these guys, like, they all paved the road for us. And, we're just continuing to go on that road. And I know that there's a lot more guys in that team that I just left that have that chance in a couple of years to be in this league as well.
And that group that you just left to it, you feel you guys kind of went viral with the Pearl Jam thing. You kind of feel the family and the connection between not just player and program, but this kind of like triangle and more than that, of player to coach to alumni to, like, it seems like everybody is on the same page there.
Yeah, we're definitely a family, and it was definitely hard, taking off that jersey for the last time with them in that Notre Dame locker room. But one thing I always told everyone was, I wasn't even sad really after that game, just because of how happy I was to be a part of that team and to be a part of this family and everything. There really was no regrets in that sense. We did more than the nation thought we could. And, we put up a fight against now the national champions. And, I think that just shows how much of, a connection we all have. And it all really stems from, Coach Mar. Coach Mar's, the driver of that bus and the conductor of that train. And, He really just does everything for us, and he's just like a big father for everyone, for all 50 of those guys on that team, you know, every single day.
Yeah, you played him closer than Maryland did. I'll tell you that. We mentioned there that plenty of Albany guys playing indoors too. You were drafted to play in the NLL as well. You're drafted by Rochester. Is that something you're looking forward to trying to kind of get going and starting to get that kind of experience too?
Yeah, for sure. I actually just moved to Rochester this past week, right before. It's kind of crazy story. You know, I left Albany, moved out of my house, stayed at home in Syracuse for 4 or 5 days, moved to Rochester. Now I'm back in Albany in 2 days, and it's been a crazy travel journey. But yeah, I moved to Rochester in hopes to, you know, kind of learn a little bit more. And I talked to Coach Carey, who is with the Nighthawks and the GM, and you know, he's really excited about the fact that I'm kind of, you know, really committed to it. I am 100% committed to trying to be a little bit, you know, better suited for the box game and to really kind of get my feet, you know, wet within the NLL.
Yeah, it's funny, the training camp for the PLL, I was going to ask you, are you just staying in the same room, or did you even leave, or you're just right there at Albany? It's got to be easy for you. Like everybody else, all the other guys are just like, oh, I guess we got to go to Albany, and you're just like, man, I never leave.
I was literally gone for a week and now I'm back, so pretty crazy.
Have you had a moment yet, now that you've been in training camp and you've had, you've also, guys, you've played a scrimmage at this point. Have you had a welcome to the pros kid kind of moment yet, where something that maybe made you feel I don't know, unprepared, or made you feel, made you think like, oh, it's a little bit different here?
Not really in the sense of being unprepared, but I've definitely had that, you know, wow moment, just, you know, being on the same field as guys like Mike Manley and, you know, Ryan Tarafenko, and seeing, you know, Coach Sudan at our practices and everything. You know, it's really just that sense and feeling like, you know, I'm finally here. You know, I've worked my whole life, and I said it in a broadcast in Albany during the year that, you know, I still remember when the ESPN article came out with the PLL and it said that it was becoming a league. And I remember sticking my head out the window as my dad was doing yard work, and I said I wanted to play in that league one day. And you know, it's kind of like that sense, like that it's kind of not the unpreparedness or welcome to the league sense. It's more so I'm just so happy and grateful that like I finally made it, and you know, now the journey is just starting.
So what was the moment that, again, that I guess made you settle in and say, I got this, I'm here, and I'm ready and I'm comfortable?
It was definitely that first face off of that scrimmage. I scooped up that first ground ball, and I came off the field to everyone kind of giving me a high five and patting my helmet. And you know, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely here, and I'm definitely on a good team with some good guys.
And so now you've been in that locker room a little bit. Has there been, you mentioned, guys like Manley and Tarafenko. Has there been somebody who's been like kind of your, I'm gonna take the rookie under my wing kind of guy, that guy that you're kind of attached to, or you're trying to learn a lot from?
It's really like Mike Manley. I've known him. I knew him beforehand, but it's really him. Just the way that he conducts himself and the kind of vet he is and the kind of respect he has around the league. You know, it's kind of like I want to just learn from him and learn what he does and ways and how he prepares and you know how he conducts himself as a leader on a team. And I think that everyone kind of sees that, but kind of learning from everyone. It's not really going under one person's wing. It's seeing how everyone conducts themselves. You know, they're all professional athletes. They've all been in the league since it started. So it's kind of just learning from everyone and seeing how everyone, you know, does everything in the locker room in that sense, or off the field or on the field.
So I haven't seen the we don't, obviously the whole scrimmage doesn't get broadcast. I didn't catch all the highlights on social yet, but did you get one from two or no? Did you let one go at least, or?
Didn't let one loose. I definitely chomping at the bit too. I was definitely over on the offensive end a little, probably a couple too many times than I should have, but I'm just trying to, you know, feel it out, feel what I can get away with and all that stuff. I did get an apple to
There you
Dylan
go.
Gergen, who made a great shot. But all credit to him. But it's definitely a fun game, and I'm looking forward to letting that first one go maybe Sunday.
Yeah, well, how has Sudo been with you? I mean, he's I, you know, as I, again, he's a guy who I've always enjoyed interactions with him. I've had as a media member, as your coach now. How is Sudo treating you?
Coach is awesome. He's so just dialed into the game itself, and he understands that we're all professionals and that we all know what we got to do, but he's just there to kind of guide us in any way that he can. And he's really just great in the sense that he's kind of like just like Coach Mar in the sense that he's just kind of there to be that figure who's just, I've been here and done that, so you can come to me with anything that you need.
And you mentioned you guys game this Sunday. You got Carolina. It's kind of frantic because it's camp right into it. So you're trying to learn, but you're also, I imagine, trying to scout, trying to prepare a little bit. So, have you had a chance to kind of prepare for the matchup yet, or is it still like we're learning our own stuff right now?
A little bit of both. We're still trying to learn with what we're doing as a defense and as a team with the Outlaws, but it's also we have so much technology now with Scorebreak and all that. I've actually been watching it on my own, so it's really a little bit of both. Looking at chaos and looking at ourselves. But I didn't want to take it for granted that I didn't know if I was going to be on that active roster or the 25 man roster yet. So just learned that I was on the 25 man roster, but it's always nice to prepare like you're going to be on the active roster. So it's
Yeah.
kind of just, a little bit of both. Being prepared is really like the main focus, but also just, focusing on yourself and making sure that you're doing all the right things.
As we've said, there are some Albany guys on that Carolina team. Has there been any shit talk yet? Anybody letting anybody know who's gonna win a couple days early or no?
Yeah, we actually just had our little rookie meeting, just talking about some stuff, and Troy Ray kind of got in my ear a little bit, saying that I was scared. Had to let him know I'm not. I'll be there on that first wing right across from him, and we'll see who gets that first GB. But it'll definitely be fun. It'll definitely be fun to see if I can maybe get a shot on Blaze, see what he can do, and just be on share the same field with them. That's really just the biggest part of it is that. I've never have, and I've always just watched them on TV, and it's going to be crazy just to be, on the same field as them during a game.
Yeah, doing it there and in Albany too, on a field that you know so well too, with those guys, it's gonna be special.
Yeah, very special.
So a couple more, just kind of quick ones for you. But when would you say you are the happiest on a lacrosse field? When you're doing what? Because you do everything. So what's the thing on the field that you're doing that really makes you feel the happiest?
I think that there can definitely be a cu couple things. It's obviously being in that mode, where you're kind of just blacking out and doing everything right. But when you're the happiest on the field is when your teammates are also feeling that happiness. And I think I'm happy on the field when everything's clicking in the sense of the team. We're winning faceoffs by, not just winning them, clamping them to ourselves, but, boxing out and giving our guys a chance. I'm happiest when our defense is communicating, we're getting slides by, sending that right guy and being prepared to be a help from the backside. I'm happiest when our offense is conducting a offensive set and gets a 1-1-1 pass and then a shot to a one-on-one with the goalie. I think that that's just like that's really what it is about me, and I've definitely like changed throughout the years. You got to become more of a team unit type of guy, and I think that's where college has kind of prepared me for that. But this team has definitely helped me understand that in the sense that when you're happy is when everyone else is happy.
All right, but there's definitely been a moment where you hit it over the head on somebody and everybody was going nuts and you were feeling pretty damn good about yourself, I'm sure.
I will say there was a question during the year. It was would you rather hit an OTH or a long step down shot? And it was such a hard question, but I think that as a poll, there's nothing better than scoring a goal and celebrating with your teammates on that offensive end. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure the goal of the over the head once in a while. Yeah, the team is going nuts, and that's making you happy, but it feels
Yeah,
pretty good to hit that too, I'm sure.
for sure.
You know, now that you're out of the college game, can you tell me who you think the toughest cover for you was in college?
Toughest cover in all my years or this past year?
And whoever can do this past year, you can do all your years.
I'll tell you two answers. The biased answer is Silas Richmond.
I was gonna say, you're gonna give me an Albany guy for one, I'm sure of it. Yeah, you're gonna give me Silas or yeah.
That's my guy. He's freaking my favorite player of all
He'll be
time.
in this, he'll be in somebody's locker room in that league in a couple if pretty soon.
Hopefully it's mine. He's such a great teammate. But I mean, the hardest cover for me, I guess, was, probably, I mean, it's so hard. I've faced so much great competition, like, Schellenberger, Brandao, and Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you got all three of those guys this year, so.
Torreton finalists, and they all gave me a pretty good run for my money. So, I'm not saying sitting here and saying that, one's better than the other, but I mean, in the sense of the game, Matt Brandao definitely, caught me off guard. I didn't think that he was, as not as good as advertised, because I obviously didn't go into that game thinking that he wasn't good. But he definitely came to that game ready to play, and he definitely, stepped up on that stage and definitely showed me what the business was. So I definitely kudos to him, because he definitely came to that game prepared. And he's a great player, but I think that all three of them are just like next generation players. All three of them are going to be pretty great in this league, and they had a great college career too. So it really is just like showing your respect and understanding that, they're going to get you once in a while. You're not going to be able to, clamp down on everyone. So
Are you the kind of guy who hangs on to that and is like the next time, because you get all three of those guys, you're going to spend the rest of your career seeing them.
yeah.
So are you the kind of guy who hangs on to that and is like, next time I'm winning this
Yeah.
matchup, or I'm gonna like, you're gonna feel it?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta hold on to it, because that's what makes you a competitor, right? But I think that I definitely don't hold on to it to where I'm not sleeping at night. But I definitely am gonna be thinking about it, next time I'm on the ball with one of them, and I'm definitely gonna make sure that they're not making me look silly like they have been.
So I guess just out on this, what you're now that you're there, you're a pro, you've made the 25 man. Obviously, you're looking, you're hoping to make the 19 man this weekend. Do you have goals for the season at a season level, or are you still operating on my goal is to make the weekend kind of thing?
No, I mean, I definitely have goals. Obviously my first goal, like you just said, is, to make that active roster every week and show coach that, he can have that confidence in me. But I think the next goal is not really so much a personal goal, but just to, be the best teammate that I can be. And whether that's, doing over the head checks and getting two pointers, or, being a great conductor, as in, being a good teammate in the sense that bringing the positivity, or talking on the defensive end, or, being there to, talk to coach or talk to Manley and talk to Jesse and everyone, and just try to learn from them. So it's really just about being the best teammate and being the best like version of me this year. But obviously that first goal is just to make that active roster every week, and just to go and wreak havoc every single week wherever I go.
That sounds like a good way to describe what you're trying to do. Wreak havoc every week.
Yep, for sure.
All right, man. I'm gonna get you out of here on that one. I appreciate you taking a few minutes here to chat with me tonight. So thank you again, Jake Pisano, for joining the Sticks In podcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hard not to love talking with Jake. Got to cheer for a guy like that. He puts himself out there. His personality is right there for you to see. He is an exciting, he is a mold breaking young player, mold breaking in a lot of ways. Very exciting young player. All right, let's preview some games. Let's go in the order they're being played here. Saturday, 1 o'clock on ABC, the season opener and a title rematch, the Utah Archers and the Philadelphia Water Dogs. As of this moment, Thursday kind of evening here, the Water Dogs are -1.5 at plus money. The game is even on the money line. Water Dogs have no face-off specialist in this game, as we talked about the Alex Stathakis kind of release until he kind of makes his way back. Again, it sounds like a temporary situation. whatever. That said, they don't have one this week. If there's a week where it's okay to probably just skip having one, it's probably this one. Mike Sisselberger is going to be on the other side for the Archers. The Sis and the Archers beat the Prevent better than anyone last year. Sisselberger can consistently get the ball upfield fast enough for them to play meaningful offense without really feeling rushed, even in that short clock. It's kind of was a big difference maker for them a year ago. I think Coach Tierney's first challenge in the pro game here is going to be disrupting that. I think this Water Dogs team is basically, you know, they're basically intact from a year ago. They really don't have to deal with missing indoor guys like Dylan Ward as they did early last year, maybe. As we said, they lose Jake Higgins for the year, maybe, but, you know, they have Jake Richard in free agency. Their SSDM unit remains, for me, one of the most deep in the sport. The Archers' offense is basically set from a year ago. Their openings, as we said, are on defense. The shorties are excellent, right? Piper Bond and Connor Marr got to a very high level ahead of schedule. They drafted the best SSDM in the draft in Bo Peterson. I think where you're going to see the new faces is in place of Matt McMahon, who retired, Jared Connors, who was traded, and Graham Hossack, as we said, on the holdout list, might be for a while. We'll see. There could be some inexperience on that end of the field this weekend. You know, you're getting the rookies in there, the, you know, Mason Woodward, Colby Bars, you know, Jack DiBenedetto, guys like that who are going to be getting their first pro action, and it might be all getting it together. Warren Jaffrey is going to have to do a lot in terms of leading that defense, Brett Dobson kind of keeping things organized. I think the Water Dogs are a good enough and veteran enough offense to really punish rookie mistakes. And that can be the difference between winning and losing. So I'm inclined to take the Dogs on the money line here, I think. I think they might lose every faceoff in the game, and I think they might still win in what you could only call an ode to Andy Copeland. So give me the Water Dogs to win on the money line in that game. Next up on Saturday, 3:30, second half of the doubleheader. This one on ESPN Plus. And an old geographical rivalry that now we have in the PLL, New York versus Boston. The Atlas and the Cannons playing Saturday late afternoon. Boston -1.5 here at even money. They are a slight money line favorite. Atlas looking to start with a positive note off of a disappointing year. It's a year wiser for Coach Pressler, who had felt like, you know, I think he would tell you too, was kind of learning on the job last summer. Not easy to do. I think this Atlas team, really well built on paper. Of course, it was well built on paper a year ago, too. But I think goalie is up in the air for the Atlas. We'll have to see who can go. First-round draft choice to Wharton finalist. Again, maybe winner right now. I don't know. Liam Eneman, not with the team yet. Winning the Natty on Monday, to Wharton on Thursday. In the net for the Atlas on Saturday. Be a hell of a week. Pressler said he gets to see him in practice for the first time on Friday. Then they have to make the decision. So it'll be Entman, Drake Porter, Tim Trautner. I don't think just because he hasn't been there that Entman won't get the job. Sometimes a big deal is made out of players adjusting quickly to the PLL. Like, oh, he's a rookie. Can you believe how quickly he's getting up to speed? For guys who play championship weekend, it's really just staying in rhythm. Like, they've been on a lacrosse-loaded routine for months. And it carries them from one Saturday and Monday into the next Saturday. So they're just kind of keeping up the routine that they've had. And I think there's something to that for why sometimes these guys look so pro ready right away, because they've been playing lacrosse at a championship level for months. And they're just kind of continuing that. The shooters are going to be better, but it's not like Eneman's going to be coming in cold here. He made 16 saves on Monday. I think Boston was the story of the year last season. Going from worst to first, as we know, semifinals. The defense has some changes. As we said, Jack Kielty, unfortunately, an Achilles injury, and is going to miss the season. You do your best to replace that with the guy who won Defensive Player of the Year a year ago. You got Garrett Eppel. You have a new DC in Kyle Hartzell, who Coach Holman describes as a film fanatic. You have to deal with Ethan Vall not being allowed to face off anymore, which is unfortunate, but... And you're missing Kielty. There's a lot kind of changing on that end of the field. They're running it back basically everywhere else, but there's changes down there. I think this Atlas offense right now feels stacked with these great pairings of feeders and finishers are now kind of built together there. Jeff Teat and Eric Law. Connor Schellenberger, Xander Dixon. You have Costa Beale. You have Jones from range. You know, if this offense is clicking, a defense that's still getting used to each other, it might just give up a few that look like easy ones. So I'm going to take the Atlas here. I'm going to get nuts. Give me the Atlas plus the 1.5 to make a week one statement in their first home game. The New York Atlas win their first home game. Give me the plus 1.5. On to Sunday, 1 p.m., ESPN Plus. Jake Pisano's Denver Outlaws. Brendan O'Neill's Denver Outlaws. The young guys there will play the Carolina Chaos. Carolina's minus 1.5 at plus money. Slight money line favorite. Denver, look, nowhere to go but up, right? They finished in last place a year ago. The offense has some very shiny new toys, most notably first overall pick Brendan O'Neill, who we kind of talked about a little bit. But Coach Sudan said he's looked dominant in some of these drills. They've used him a number of ways. He's going to be on the field every possession. I love the sound of that. I think it sounds like we may witness Brendan O'Neill being unleashed in whole new ways that we haven't seen in a while. I think Josh Sawada was another draft pick who kind of fits the mold of what Coach Sudan loves, this ex-attackman who's a distributor, a heads-up player, kind of elusive behind the goal. I think the Outlaws' defense is basically intact and very talented, but they added Jake Pisano. Like, I think Carolina has the luxury. Well, luxury is probably not the right word. It's not like the expected run of things is a luxury, but for the Chaos, it is. They got the whole roster there. No NLL overlap. So everyone's with the club from week one. Jared Newman, during the press conference today, was joking. It's like these guys' first training camp. So Josh Byrne's going to be out there. He's going to be doing damage. The midfield is rebuilt, less box-heavy, more versatile, Dodge-centric with guys like Jules Henningberg, you know, top pick Shane Knobloch. These are guys who will win a one-on-one matchup, don't need to do the two-man stuff as much. So it's a major shift away from how that offense is built. I still love the Carolina defense. I do every year. They play this fun kind of defense that if you're like me, you like watching really aggressive defense get played. They have Blaze Reardon behind them, so they can take risks, right? Guys like Jared Newman, Jack Rowlett, Troy Ray, they can go hunting, cause turnovers. They can get aggressive. Will Bowen can keep things organized and clean up the ground ball mess behind them. The shorties all run like the wind. It's a very fun group. I like Carolina here. Having all the weapons week one is massive. Josh Byrne breaks games. I like a kind of a close one, though. So give me Denver plus the 1.5, staying close. Everyone gets to meet Brandon and Jake and see how those two guys can wreck games on their own. Last game of the weekend, Atlas, the home team, so they get the doubleheader. They play the Maryland Whipsnakes Sunday in the late game. Whips are minus 1.5, pretty decent money line favorite. As you can tell, like we said, the Redwoods do have a bye week one. Tough to get a read here because it's the Atlas second game of the weekend and you don't know what's going to happen in game one, right? They could have injuries. They could make some quick moves with the 21 man. Lots of kind of unknowns based on how their first game goes when it comes to trying to pick who's going to win the game. We already kind of broke down the things I like about the Atlas. Again, one other thing that I think is relevant here that we talked about earlier, but the Atlas short stick D middies. Danny Logan's going to be in the mix for best in the league. Peyton Mazanka is healthy and can be that kind of guy. What makes them important for this game is that the Whips are going to be missing some dodging threats here. Brad Smith may miss the entire year recovering from knee surgery. Tucker Dordovic, missing a few weeks. You know you've got TJ Malone. You know you've got Matt Rambo playing now a more comfortable spot for him, that lefty wing, while Malone gets to kind of play at X. You've got Zed Williams, should be his usual physical dominant self on the righty side, but the Whips will need to find Dodgers in the midfield, and it's going to be tough for them to do that against that short stick D mid pair. You know, Scott Cole made this team as a post-draft guy who is blazing fast and a great Dodger. Maybe he's that guy. Jackson Morrill coming out of the box could be asked to do that a little bit. We'll have to kind of see how that works, but that's a key spot to me, is who can beat the Atlas short stick D middies. That's going to be key for the Whipsnakes. Face-offs here could be a challenge. The Atlas do still have Trevor Baptiste. Joe Nardell is back, but Trevor is Trevor. The Whips defense will have some new faces with Michael Earhart retired and Bryce Young now playing for Boston. Coach Staggs did say, and he used this word, he said Zupacic looks unbelievable, specifically off the ground and going towards the offensive end. But you have to feel good about hearing that if you're a Whips fan. I think Tim Muller's still an elite defender. Ajax Zapatello joined the club today. He's too good to not basically be ready to play right away. I think a lot of questions for the Whips are kind of here as they kind of are transitioning between eras. But as they talk today, you know, Matt Rambo talked about it. Look, they were not happy last year, and they are pissed about it. They want to get back to where they were. I think they may get there, but I'm going to take the Atlas here. I like the Atlas having a big first week, man. I'm going to take the Atlas here. Very scared to do it, but I'm going to take them to cover. So give me the Atlas plus the 1.5. That is first weekend of the PLL. That's a lot of stuff, man. That's a lot of things happening. PLL coming hard out of the gate. I'm going to try and do, I'm going to try and do a guest a week for the PLL season. At a minimum, we're going to have the Friday preview show episode every week. So I'm looking forward to another fun summer here. Thank you so much to Jake Pisano for joining. Make sure you check out the Outlaws. Check out Jake this weekend. PLL season is back. Thank you for sticking around with me. Enjoy the games.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.